Joining us now in the studios is the city administrator of Northfield, Ben Martin. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. City Council held a work session last night, talked about, well, a number of things, and according to Terry, some real good discussion on those. So we'll just go through this in order.
Okay.
The first thing was utility rates. You had done a study on that. What did you find out?
Yeah, so we do a multi-year, five-year, and then kind of extended out to a 10-year capital improvement plan as it relates to our utility funds. So water fund, drinking water, sanitary sewer, storm sewer system, garbage, and I think I covered all of them there.
Okay.
So those were really the focus of our analysis. Then we tie that capital improvement plan and our operating expenses to really a multi-year rate study so that we can kind of have stable rates, not have big fluctuations up and down. So there's a lot of planning involved with that. So we've been doing a major update to our rate study. We're kind of coming to an end of a five-year plan that we've been underway with, and so we're looking at setting the new rates going forward with those. So we kind of got an update on those rates that we have. So we're going to be looking at over the next 5 years, the sanitary sewer fund is about 1.75% increase in rates that we're going to have for users. It's going to be increasing. We got storm sewer that's proposed to go up 5% per year. Now on that one, we've been seeing 6%. So it's slightly less than what we've been seeing for increases with that. And then water fund, we have about a 1% increase that we have on the water fund, and then the garbage doesn't have any impact at this time. So what that translates to kind of overall, if you combine all of those fees together for the average customers from 18 to 19, you're really looking at about a dollar increase roughly that you'd have per month. That you would have on that over time, and it would be a little bit less than that kind of on an annual basis after that. So it's a little under a dollar, but roughly gives you kind of an idea on kind of the large scheme of things. Fairly manageable. We've certainly had a lot of discussions about sanitary sewer issues out at the plant. That includes upgrades that we have planned out at the facility. We're going to continue to do facility planning as it relates to that. So that's all incorporated with that. With those projections that we presented to the council. So ultimately it does go back to the city council because we actually provide sewer services to Dundas residents. It's a regional sewer system that we provide. We have a notice period, so the plan would be to bring it to the city council on Tuesday for consideration of approval.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the stormwater is the one that continues to go up. It's been at 6% per year. Now it's at 5%. What's driving the costs on that?
Yeah, the stormwater, I guess, not only here but in other cities, is still a relatively newer fund. It was really created in relation to growing state regulations that follow state water quality requirements. So we have to do more stormwater ponding than what we used to have to do. So I'd say it's continuing to grow there. We've had some staffing to go into that. And then maintenance of those ponds is coming up as well as we look at major improvements to those types of storm sewer systems. So I'd say it's a combination of some capital improvements that we have as well as some staffing costs that are kind of new to the system that we haven't always had in the fund.
When Mayor Pownell took office last year, she instituted a strategic plan. One of the action points was about the climate action plan. You had an update about that last night. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's right. So we had the update from our climate action committee that's working on that, and Alex Miller, a co-chair, and Bruce Anderson, who's on the committee, he's in there and replaced Alan Anderson, who's a co-chair, who's got no relation there specifically, but they really gave an update on some of the educational information out there. So reinstituted some of the recent news that they've had on the United Nations reports as it relates to greenhouse gases growing in the atmosphere, trapping heat, and continuing to see dramatic increases in our climate and the temperature, and some of the kind of the dire reports that are coming out there that, you know, if we don't make some significant changes, we're going to have pretty dramatic changes happening, including rising sea levels, which are going to particularly hit the coast. We're going to continue to see growing storms. This part of the world is probably going to see a lot wetter conditions. So they got into a lot of detail with that, which I appreciated that they did end with the good news, so it wasn't all
doom
and gloom. It was getting pretty sad there for a while, which it is a serious issue, obviously, that we're dealing with and what we can do, what the impacts are. But they did, you know, we are seeing a growing recognition and interest across the world of it, and fossil fuel companies are investing in new technologies and working at instituting new standards. China and India, some of the biggest emitters, are making changes. So there are some positive things that are going on. Locally, what they're doing is they've really been in an organizational period this year, creating committees, kind of beginning their education campaigns. They've been doing that. Teeing it up for they're reviewing proposals for a consultant to actually create a climate action plan. So what can we do locally as a community? It can be sustainability efforts, might be investing in green energy that could potentially save us money and also be good for the environment. Other types of issues, we did get a grant from Xcel Energy to do some energy efficiency analysis over the coming year. We're also looking at staffing up a person for temporary position for a couple of years to help us on the strategic plan and our budget discussions later that can help this as well. So they're basically here to give an update. We got approval of the Xcel grant next week. They'll be providing technical assistance to us at the coming year. And
That Xcel grant, is that for city-owned facilities they'll be taking a look at, or
yes,
will encompass more than that?
It's primarily focused on the city-owned facilities, taking a look at our energy usages and ways to save there. And I need to take a little closer look again about the private components of that, how expansive it is. But we'll have more information coming on that next week.
All right. So move on to the Riverfront Enhancement Advisory Committee. It is established by the mayor. You're in the process of establishing it. Is that what the where the process is?
Yeah, that's right. So on the strategic plan, we're really looking for a group of stakeholders related to riverfront enhancement goals. It falls under our economic development strategies. If you look at our city guiding documents, the Cannon River is emphasized in that using that as a strategic asset for the community. We had a great river walk immediately adjacent to a historic downtown. How do we make that an even more vibrant and active facility to help our businesses attract tourists to town? So, and also be environmentally stewards of the environment, and particularly the riverfront area. So we're looking at kind of creating a committee to help guide that. Again, all these committees might work differently. This one, I think, will not be kind of just a standard they meet monthly type of thing. It's going to be probably more project-based. We've got a lot of guiding documents that talk about it. We might need to do some enhanced concept plans on the area, identification of projects. We were awarded a National Park Service Technical Assistance Grant as well that we were told yesterday. And so we have a staff person that will be working with us along with 10 other communities in Minnesota that we applied for and they were awarded as well. We'll be working with them to help do the facilitation at no cost, that they'll be helping us with that. And they've got some technical assistance identifying funding opportunities, maybe have some architectural landscape architect assistance for us to do some concept work. So we'll be meeting with them for more information. But, you know, it's really going to be based on those outcomes on how we can actually grow use the riverfront as an asset to grow our economy.
You mentioned project-based. Those projects haven't been completely identified yet then. That's the next stage. What you just mentioned, that's what this is about?
Yeah, one small example of a practical project that we've got planned in the budget, even in advance of this, is a simple one like having a more developed takeout points for canoes, kayaks, river access for the public. So upstream of the dam, as you come down from the Dundas from the south to the north, we've set aside $50,000 in the budget to do an improvement there. It would be matching some DNR dollars.
Mm-hmm.
The exact location isn't identified specifically, but we're looking at potentially like Riverside Park area, so people could take out there, go into the downtown, hit our restaurants in the area and those kinds of things, enjoy the community. Also downstream. So that's a small example of what we're looking at doing. Certainly, I think looking at Babcock Park, Ames Park, the parks that are along there, what kind of improvements? Is there a way to connect a trail over to the new hotel that's built so that people can more easily get out off of the hotel onto our Riverwalk area? Are there events and things that we could do to help stimulate more activity, kind of like the farmers market and market fair that we currently do? So we'll be looking at a number of those types of things to say, how can we build off of our successes there?
All right. City Administrator Ben Martin is with us. We are talking about last night's City Council work session. The budget. It's that time of year where you're talking about the budget and levy options. Where did you get to? What did you arrive to last night?
That's right, Jeff. So this is definitely a long process. And so we have, the council has previously in September adopted the preliminary levy that would be about a 7% increase. So that number can go down. It's our that's a fixed dollar amount. It cannot go up. And so like a $200,000 home that would have about a 7% increase in our valuations would see about a $7 per month change with that if they went to that full number. With that, we were one of the drivers we were looking at. We're looking at some staffing, particularly within the police department and public works, needing some additional investigation work and sergeant work within our police department with investigations, as well as on our public works doing just general maintenance. We have about five primary kind of street and parks operators that are out doing the work. We're really kind of short on that when you look at comparable cities. So those were what we're kind of teed up to talk about last night. One of the things is that kind of tied in with the rate study that we did for the utility funds is with that, these funds kind of operate like the utility funds, the utility fees cover those fees. And it's kind of like having a separate checkbook when you do public accounting. So it's got its own separate fund and pot of money. Now, there are services that support those funds. So as an example, human resources, the wastewater plant doesn't have its own HR people or its own finance people. So we do an administrative charge back to our general fund. It's kind of primarily funded like by levy and local government aid. So those administrative fees hadn't been updated for over a decade, and we were really falling behind on that charge. We hadn't been increasing any of those. So the consultant was recommending to put them at a flat rate and make them at about 12.5%. That brings in about an additional $200,000 into the general fund in support from our utility fees, even with those rates that I talked about. When you spread that out, all of our rate users and things on the storm and sewer fund, it really has a pretty negligible impact. But to the general fund, what it's done is, with those positions, those two positions that I talked about being funded, it basically would mean the levy would come down if we chose to fund those from about a 7% levy increase down to a 4.5% increase, which is lower than the lowest levy increase number that the council talked about for a preliminary levy. So that was new information for the council last night. If we didn't fund those two positions, we're looking at about a 2.3% levy increase if the council chose not to. So we had P.T. Heider, our sergeant, in from the police department, and Deputy Chief Mark Dukatz was in to talk about the need of our police department for those positions. Staff recommendation for 2019 was to fund a investigator position. We have two investigators looking at adding an additional one. And really what we're seeing increased caseloads in those areas, a lot of complexity as it relates to criminal sexual assault cases or extremely time-consuming and difficult technology-related ones. We're getting into cell phones and computers pretty regularly, and then the reporting with that. So to keep on top of things, those are always going to be a priority, but if we don't have more support in that, sometimes some of the other more minor crimes are more difficult to deal with, like minor thefts and break-ins and things become a little more challenging. So they talked about that. So our recommendation was to add an investigator position and a public works position, which would really be working on streets and parks. And again, the levy impact, if we did that, would be about a 4.5% increase. One of the things we also provided was some comparative data. We've done this in the past. We didn't have the updated data due to the state system being down, so we just called ourselves, so we're working on it. So one of the things is when you look at our comparable peer groups, we see this in our audit reports too, but I don't know a community that I've never been or heard a community where they think their taxes are low, but when we do the data comparison to our other peer groups, of about a dozen or so peer communities, we're second to the lowest on that, on a property tax levy from a city standpoint, about $1 million less than our kind of the average of our comparable peer group. So from a spending standpoint, the data shows that we actually have low city tax levy for a community our size. And even with our increase, we still are very much on the low end. We're second to last, even with the preliminary levy increase, when we look at the other communities that they're looking at setting.
That's interesting. Is there data online? Is that part of the packet?
It's in the packet. We've got it. Okay. So I've got the communities that we use. We use a statistical formula to determine what cities are comparable. Mm-hmm. Population, local government aid need, which is its own formula through the state of Minnesota. Includes crime statistics, distance from our community, so it kind of factors similar communities. I mean, we can certainly look at other communities, but this is a pretty good sample size that we've been using for a few years. The interesting thing, though, that ties with that I don't have the data yet that we're working on, it's a little harder to get, is the property tax values from other counties to match these cities.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we can get the tax rates. So what we've historically see that even though our tax levy to pay for our city services is on the very much on the low end in comparison to other communities, the tax rate, we are slightly above the average. And the reason why is our tax base is not as large as our comparable peer communities. So again, this is not a new thing for Northfield either, is the importance of growing our tax base, particularly our commercial tax base that pays a lot larger percentage of the of taxes. They pay a 2% tax rate, basically, in comparison to, it's a little complicated mm-hmm. for residential, but basically 1% for residential rate. So that's going to continue to be an issue, too, to try and keep that tax rate lower. How do we continue to try and grow and diversify our tax base as a community? So, again, that's just taking this into the context of your budget is important. So you got to look at all the different components of it. But mm-hmm. I think comparative data is always useful as well.
All right. Once again, City Administrator Ben Martig with us. We're going to wrap it up. Last night's a council meeting. Last thing on the agenda was reviewing the strategic plan, the quarter three. The end of quarter three is just about upon us. Actually, it is upon us. It was the end of September, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So we gave a little update. We really didn't have much time in the meeting to cover that, so it was more of referencing our large report that we have. And I guess, as I would say, is we've really been prioritizing our budget process. Some of the projects that the council, it ties directly to our strategic plans. We've been intentional about that. We are using some reserve funds, hopefully, that the council will end up approving that would have a staff that would kind of be dedicated specifically to that. But a lot of good things going on related to our strategic plan, and look forward to doing kind of a year one report for the council and the community coming up.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us. We certainly appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Northfield City Administrator Ben Martig. Terry's in with a look at local news in just a moment or so. We'll also have Tim McNiff news with a side of sports.
Guys, are you looking for the perfect gift for that special lady in your life? Ladies, are you?